Radio Ghana.
A very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, which examines issues from the perspective of newsmakers and experts. My name is Agatha Samwa. Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra and on all our regional FM stations across the country. From tomorrow, the Ashanti regional capital, Kumasi, would come to live as the National Democratic Congress, NDC, throng the place for their Special Delegates Congress from the 29th to 30th August. President John Mahama is expected to be endorsed as the party's flag bearer, after which the NDC's 2012 campaign will be launched. How ready is the NDC for what some have termed all-important delegates' congress? First, we go over to the Ashanti Regional Capital Kumasi, where correspondent Thomas Nsowe-Jay gives us a picture of what is happening in town ahead of the arrival of Congress delegates. You're welcome, Thomas.
Thank you very much, madam.
So how is the atmosphere in Kumasi towards the NDC's Special Delegates Congress?
Yes, from this morning, when I went to town, you could see that everything is pointing to the Congress on Thursday, much especially when you go through the streets leading to the Babara Sports Stadium, where the venue of the Congress has been slated. You could see the posters of the President, John Mahama, around the walls and some of the electricity poles, the walls of the stadium are most of the parts that you can see. Just to cash in here, in the morning we're told that there was some confrontation as far as the placing of posters are concerned. We heard that some people were arguing that the NPP's presidential candidate posted already been pasted around some of the place where the Congress is going to take place, and therefore it was posing a threat to security. Quickly, we went in to find out the authenticity of that allegation. And
so how has that issue been resolved?
It was false, madam. The place was very quiet. Only a few, could count 1, 2, 3 of Nanasu posters that had been pasted there. And as to when they were pasted, nobody could tell. But there wasn't any complaint at all. That matter has been settled. Again, we wanted to find out security arrangement that is going to be very paramount as far as this Congress is concerned. I spoke to the regional commander, the Jenin, he told me that security is no problem at all, because this morning regional security met and came out with a lot of strategies to deal with security situation. So there's no cause for alarm. But I drew his attention to the fact that people will be riding motorbikes that normally pose threats to such events. But I was assured that that is not going to be a problem at all. So with this, we are going to see a very interesting Congress. But the other thing that I want to add is accreditation issue. I remember I was in Sinyane to cover the Congress in Sinyane. The pain we went through before we had accreditation, but again, we have been assured that this one is not going to be repeated as it happened in Sinyane tomorrow. The media have been assured that we are going to have all our accreditation set. So we are ever prepared to provide the coverage needed for the Congress on Thursday. And again, too, we have been informed that President will be arriving tomorrow very early in the morning to continue with the thank you tour before Thursday. Then the program lineup has been that tomorrow you call on the Santini at the Mangia Palace, where a number of chiefs will be met there to receive the president, and then the president will express that same handshake and thank you to the kids and people in the Ashanti region before you go around the street to also show himself and then appreciate the efforts Ghanaians and for that matter the Ashanti region put in helping to provide the ex-president, the former president, Atambeles, who passed away, and then therefore they put in to give him the final and then the most respected funeral rite.
Thomas, we are aware that Ashanti region is a stronghold of the NPP. How are the residents of Kumasi awakening to the upcoming NDC Congress?
In fact, when you go around, that fanfare is not seen. Probably by the close of tomorrow, we'll begin to see that fanfare because, but Kumasi, the city is very calm. You don't hear or you don't see people discussing so much about the Congress. Probably tomorrow, when the delegates begin arriving, probably it will be there that we can tell whether the NDC will take the city by storm. But as at now, you can see that that stronghold of MPP is still dominating. But right now, I cannot say whether that will continue
tomorrow
when they start arriving. And then when the actual Congress starts on Thursday.
All right, then we will get back to you tomorrow on this story. Many thanks for your time. That was our Ashanti Regional Correspondent, Thomas Nsoweju. And also joining us on the line is the Ashanti Regional Secretary of the NDC, Joseph Yamin. You're welcome, Joseph.
Thank you, my sir.
So how ready is Kumasi for NDC Special Delegates Congress?
Very ready, very ready. Everything is set. We can say we are about 90% set. 10% is about delegates arriving at the event.
Well, can you fill us in on the program ahead and during the Congress?
Well, tomorrow we are expecting that delegates will be arriving from their various regions. Then, again, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama is also arriving tomorrow on a thank you tour. So we'll have to take him around the city, go through places that he's expected to go, Nigeria and others, before he finally meets Ashanti Regional Delegates Executives of the party. Then, the Thursday morning, we have two sessions. I mean, for the Thursday, in the morning, the Congress will converge. Then, voting takes place to acclaim His Excellency John Dramani Mahama. Per our constitution, is to have a 50+1 pool of the delegates present. Then, in the afternoon, we will mount the Jackson's Park to launch our campaign officially to draw His Excellency John Dramani Mahama to the general public.
And then what happens on the Friday?
Thursday, delegates are expected to leave back. I mean, those that are very close to Ashanti region, all of them are to leave early Friday morning. But there's this event ahead of us that the EC is opening the voter register. Political parties are required to be present to ensure that the exercise goes on well. And so the NDC is also not leaving this exercise in the vacuum. So we are expecting that all delegates should move by Friday. Delegates should be at their region so that they can prepare themselves to meet the first deadline of the opening of the voter register.
Well, you seem to have a beef with the NPP on littering the Congress areas with posters of Nana Akufo-Addo. Why are you alarmed by this?
Well, it's not about alarm. It's about the NPP and why they want to do that. So, even though there's no law, I mean, prohibiting them from taking the posters, morally, it's wrong that a political party that has secured the venue for its Congress for the opposition or the other party to come and just take over the place with the opposition. What does it mean? What would be the simple question I ask myself that I always want the MP to answer me we have voices that the NDC are using incumbency to teach them. We are not trying to paint because we have entered into whatever venue that they are using for their platform. See, clearly, what you don't want others to do, you don't do others.
So how has that issue been resolved?
Well, it hasn't been resolved. We have sent petitions to the Peace Council. We have sent petitions to the police. We have sent other bodies that are supposed to be aware of this. But it is interesting, the MPP keeps on going around justifying that very act that they are creating confusion in the region. And you see, it's not about they trying to get confused. What they don't expect, they will see. Because the people are arriving here, people are expecting to see the man of the moment, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, in the region here. And clearly, signals are being sent across for that the NDC, as they used to see, is not as what they see. And this is so formidable. And people are beginning to realize that in the alternative to the NDC government, is John Dramani Mahama's victory, not the MPP. And so NDC will go, and the NDC will still come back to power. I mean, what I mean is that the alternative for the NDC current government is not the MPP, it's John Dramani Mahama's MPP. What the people are making themselves with growth, that is what is scaring them. They think that they have to do something to either scare people from coming out there. Maybe people just feel that it's not safe to come into their country regional capital because it seems to be some state of confusion. Maybe that is their strategy, but that strategy will fail because we have promised our people we are very safe, we should come for the party and help the party do whatever we are supposed to do on that day. Bring the man of the moment out there. And then we'll move on from there.
Well, so is the NDC seeking to make gains in Kumasi with this special delegate event?
Oh, no, it's not about this delegate. We have already made gains into the Ashanti Regional Capital, that is Kumasi, and Ashanti Regional Capital. We are not in any way thinking that this rally is going to, give us some advantage. If it comes, it's a bonus for us. Already, we have worked, and I've said this on several platforms, that I, as the regional secretary of the party, do not believe that the NDC are the dominant party in this region. No, it's about people in this region, it's about political parties appealing to them. And the strategies that we used years back, we are not using it because the leadership of the NDC, those times that the NDC seems to be dominating, it's not the same leadership today. And I think that this thing is helping us, that it's not about the size of your army that determines your victory in the war. It's about how strategic and sophisticated we are. That's what the NDC is, this time around, putting into our campaign. We are campaigning to the people who are using all sophisticated methods of campaigning to our people. The people are buying into it. On top of the developmental projects that we, the government with this point, have been able to do for the people of Ashanti region, that when you go to the fact that for 8 years that the NDC were in power, we never saw a single clinic being put up there. Today, I speak with you, a district hospital, the startup of the regional hospital is almost complete, just about 1.5 years now.
So are we going to see a different NDC after this event?
Yes, of course, a different NDC. You see that we are coming out. We are going to face the NDC, not with the insults that they are giving us, but we'll face them with the policies that we have. We'll face them with comparison, even though they would want to be speaking out there that they want peace, but we'll practice the other side of it. We will go out there with a focus of what they compared the NDC 18 years in government to that of their 8 years, and we'll compare it from more. As we finish our Congress, we'll compare it the 4 years of President John Dramani Mahama's government, that of the NDC, 8 years of the MPP government, and for people to assess themselves and know under which government are they better. Clearly, after putting these things out there, the people will begin to realize that the only alternative to the NDC government is the NDC government.
All right. We are very grateful for your time.
Thanks.
Joseph Yamin is the Ashanti Regional Secretary of the NDC. We are also trying to get in touch with the NPP on the issue. And as soon as we get the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the NPP, he will clarify some issues there. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana, Accra. let's read some of your text messages. Sule Dramani Bole says NDC will win because of President Mahama's humility. Nanado is winning come December 2012, and that's from Abubakari Chansawa. Don Kwada Mongo says, President Mahama, go, 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 high. You are the best. And Matthew Mankati Yendi also says, if the NDC do not want to be defeated in December, they have no option than to endorse President Mahama. And AU Farukin Tamale, President Mahama is the best choice for Ghana. Many thanks for your text messages. We are also live on 92.1 FM Garden City Radio in Kumasi, 92.5 FM Radio Central in Kumasi, and 96.5 FM Obonu in Tema. The formation of the party started as a rumor, but when the dust settled, the announcement confirmed the existence of the National Democratic Party after receiving the provisional certificate from the Electoral Commission. It became clear that the NDP was poised for action in the December elections. To some commentators, the NDP is just adding up to the number of political parties contesting in the December elections. Is the party going to behave like the Democratic Freedom Party and National Reform Party that broke away from the NDC as a result of grievances but were not able to make much headway on their own? Well, for answers to these questions, we have on the line the national chairman of the National Democratic Party, Dr. Ni Ama Josiah Aye. You're welcome, Doc.
Thank you very much.
So what is the philosophy of the NDP?
Well, our philosophy is Ghana, Ghana, and Ghana again. I mean, we simply want to raise our game and we want to deepen the politics of this country profoundly because we believe that there are many defects in our politics and the politics become very one-tracked and one-dimensional, and rather than dwell on things that are based on reasoning and so on, people simply think that politics is just a game in which you hype things and you try to give an overhyped and exaggerated version of whatever happens. We think that once we have drawn up our program and begin to operationalize those programs, especially on the basis of our manifesto, people then begin to see the qualitative difference that we intend to bring. Now, there are no middles. You made reference to certain parties that have been no more than flashes in the pan in this country. We are far more than that. What? We have a very well thought out institution, and we know exactly where we are pitching our strengths. And become the first, come the elections in December, you see exactly the depth of our strength.
Well, the philosophy you are talking about, have you translated it for the ordinary Ghanaian in the rural areas to understand them?
Well, first of all, you got to have a time dimension to this. You are talking about, of course, our activity or our best between then and now. In terms of the time frame, that could not possibly have been done. But we have put in place a program that, when operationalized, will make sure that the central message and the program of our party, those things are brought to the fore, and that those things become the center point or the centerpiece of whatever we're doing. So between now and election time, I believe, and I have no doubt at all, Ghanaians will know the full strength and the full range of the policies and programs that we have. Mm.
So for now, who are the founding members of the NDP?
Well, the founding membership, of course, that's part of the document that we submitted to the Electoral Commission. So I believe that if you wanted to know that, you might as well have directed your questions to them, you know that. But I think that people, this country, our politics tends to be personality obsessed. Politics are about ordinary people, because ordinary people, out of the ordinary man, is the ordained strength. And ordinary people, given the opportunity, can perform and perform to the utmost. So we simply say that, fine, we have satisfied the requirements for the formation and foundation of a party. And the Electoral Commission, of course, has endorsed that, vetted everything that we did or submitted to them. They checked the bona fides of every person scrupulously and meticulously, and we have satisfied that. Of course, there's the gazetting requirement, which is that, well, after provisional certificate is given, 30 days on, you then get a final certificate. So that's what we're waiting for. But notwithstanding, of course, nothing is hindering us, nothing is hampering us from operating just like any other police department. That's exactly what we're doing right now.
Well, Doc, 4 months to the general elections, would you say the NDP is visible across the country?
Well, we have done what can be done. Of course, I believe if you looked at the pictures very carefully, this on the media very carefully, this week, that same setting vehicles of ours, we have no less than 30 vehicles, in fact, 50 vehicles across right now. And we have visibility in terms of we have our posters and so on. And the other things are in the pipeline, they should be out within the next 14 days. And I think that in terms of visibility, in terms of even the highlighting, in terms of exposure, we would be found not wanting in any category at all.
When is the NDP going to Congress to elect its flag bearer?
Well, we have a crash program spread over approximately 2 months to do everything, including sorting constituency problems, sorting regional problems, sorting national problems, which means that our congresses and our caucuses and everything to ensure that we have a national spread. We have candidates right across the country. We have a presidential candidate, and we have national executives, we have district executives, we have constituency executives, we have regional executives. All those things have been set to a time frame. So within the range of 2 months, you see all these things come to fruition.
Well, there are news making round that Nana Konedu will be a candidate for the NDP. How true is this?
Well, I've heard that again and again. But of course, if you want to test the authenticity of any piece of information, of course, there's always a source to go to. And in asking me, I'll say that you hit the bullseye. You can't write the source. Now, Nana Konedu is not one of our founding members. If she was, I'm sure that would be all over the news. But having been founded and established as a political party, we are now open to membership, and we embarked on the membership drive. Now, once we've done that, and because we, of course, operate in the democratic dispensation, and because we are intrinsically and quintessentially a democratic party, everything, every nomination, everything, if you want to be thrust into any office, then you must submit yourself to the elective process. Now, we're not barring anybody. Once that person is a Ghanaian and qualifies for election, that person could throw his hat in the ring as, a candidate for executive election at any level, or even a parliamentary candidate, presidential candidate. If Nana Konedu or anybody else is interested and he or she qualifies, of course, there's nothing that will stop that person from competing.
So,
and if she competes and wins, so be it.
So for now, we should dismiss it as a rumor.
For now, so yes. Any time or as soon as we have any information that any key individual of national interest or national stature, such as Nana Konedu, has shown any interest or whatever, or maybe people are saying, sometimes people say, drop this person or drop that person, we'll bring it into the public domain. It will be totally above board that information.
But your party, the formation of your party began as a rumor. Then later it became true.
Say that again. I don't know exactly what sort of rumor you are talking about. I mean, at the time that we founded the party, I didn't know that there were any antecedent rumors. Because we founded it because the timing was right. So if people are talked about founding of the party, it's because of the perpetual fracturing. Stop fracturing within the NDC. People address themselves to that and say, well, because of the fracturing and because of the lack of internal democracy and the lack of due process, you want to prophesy or even divine that because these things go within the NDC, these things may follow, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's not me saying it. The NDC has divided and subdivided many times. So if one said any setting, that would be no prophecy at all. But we, our founding, have nothing to do with any rumor that was spread by anybody.
Well, look, is the party filled in parliament three candidates in all the 230 constituencies?
Well, that is our objective. Even when the constituencies are expanded to 275 or whatever, our objective still will be to field candidates right across the nation. That's what we try to do.
Well, is the formation of the NDP to make the NDC lose the 2012 elections?
Far from that. Whenever I hear that suggested, and I shake my head in despair. You see, we cannot be parochial. We cannot be so narrow-minded that our entire raison d'etre, the reason why this is simply to demolish some other institution. No. We are broad-minded people with very noble vision and goals. So the NDC is not our focus at all. Our focus is Ghanaian politics, right? It appears that the NDC has set itself against us as though we were their nemesis or antithesis. Well, I mean, that is not in our mind at all. We simply want to fight a national election on broad national policies and agenda, and that's what it is. Why you ask, you got to ask yourself, don't other political parties attack us or even like question us why these things like the NDC does? But the NDC seems to be totally obsessed with us. I think that it should keep their eye on the ball, because if they want to win relations in this country, we are not the only institution they should fight. They should fight right across the board. So if they themselves want to lose or want to shoot themselves in the foot and want to focus or over-focus on us, that's their own problem.
But there are reports also that the NDP is targeting aggrieved NDC members who lost the parliamentary elections. How true is this?
Well, I mean, Ghana is larger than just aggrieved NDC members. I believe by definition, aggrieved NDC members will be in a minority. We want to win elections. So we are targeting the Ghanaian elector, the Ghanaian voter, whom we value. We address them as the most valued electors and voters. And we want them to focus and look carefully at our manifesto, our agenda, our program, and not to be emotively attached to a party whose leadership has, in our view, abdicated responsibility. Because they have a responsibility to lead people and to ensure that, of course, the goals or even like the fruits of prosperity and democracy are enjoyed by the people of this country. But it's like there's a dichotomy between leadership and the left within the NDC. And the earlier people within the NDC wake up to that reality, the earlier they would redeem the NDC itself. Because I think that it's the leadership, it's not the entirety of the NDC, but the problem is with the leadership. And people say to us, fine, now that Professor Milne is gone, well, why do you still keep on doing this? And I keep saying to them that our problem was not with Professor Milne. The problem is that the configuration of individuals and interests that created the problems around the Milne government are still very much in place. They are intact.
President Mahama has called on all aggrieved members of the NDC to join the party. Will your members consider this call?
Well, I don't think that's adequate. You don't preach over people's heads. When you want to deal with people, especially when the people are in an institutional political party, there are ways of approaching them and dealing in that matter. But overtures are not sufficient, of course, especially when there is a divergence or a discrepancy. I mean, an irreconcilable discrepancy between what you say and what you do. I mean, beside or short of the statement that you're referring to, nothing has been done. Nothing has changed. As I said to you, the NDC, as we knew before, is still intact. It's a caricature of a democratic institution of which we cannot be part of.
All right, just hold the line for us. Dr. Michael Pesahite is a researcher at the Institute of African Studies at the University of Ghana, and he's joined us on the line. You're welcome, Doc.
Thank you.
So the NDP and the 2012 elections, do they stand a chance?
Well, I mean, we have to leave this to the events to unfold. As you very well know, the outcome of elections in this country are determined by the broad masses of our people, who oftentimes, perhaps in every 4 years or periodically, are given the chance to decide who among the various candidates put forward by the political parties qualifies to hold the offices of presidency and parliament, and of course also on other occasions for assembly members as well. So we have to wait to see. But I mean, if you look at the fact that we have approximately 100 days to the national election, and the fact that with all respect to Dr. Josiah, we have not seen any other member of the NDP except for himself and one Dr. Ajiman that we heard about earlier on. And we don't know who the regional secretaries and chairpersons and the constituency executives are. And we haven't also heard any other member talk on behalf of the political party. We haven't seen any rallies. We haven't seen any congress. We haven't seen any elaborate program that will really arrest the attention of the broad masses of our people in this country. It is very, very difficult that the party can win the 2012 election. That is coming back directly to your question. Yeah. It is very difficult under that circumstance to say that the party will win the election. The second factor that we have to also consider is that by the very nature of the electoral configuration of our political system, we have more or less by default become a two-dominant party system, where you have the NPP and the NDC more or less alternating and replacing each other since 1992 as the dominant political parties. If there was any one political party that could have shattered that particular arrangement, my belief is that it probably would have been the CPP, given that it was once in power, it had a history of development, it had a history of socioeconomic transformation, and then it had a founder who was perhaps one of the most popular African leaders of our time. But even with all that going for the CPP, they haven't been able to resuscitate themselves or rejuvenate themselves and fiercely wrest power from the NDC and the NPP, or wrest a dominance place from the NPP and the NDC. Now, the third thing is that this is not the first time we are having a smaller political party emerge in our system, or a third force, a third political party that wants to be considered as a third force in our political system. We have had the Reform Party that broke away from the NDC. We have had the DFP, the Democratic Freedom Party, led by Dr. Obeda Asamoah, also breaking away. And now we are having Dr. Josiah and his group also breaking away. Of course, these things are essentially signals to the NDC that it needs to probably take a second look at its internal wrangling, its internal working mechanisms, and to ensure that they have a much, much better strategy in place to resolve conflicts as and where they emerge.
So for now, you don't see the NDP causing any surprise in the elections?
I don't think so at all. I perhaps as Dr. Josiah himself said, we probably need to wait and see how much they can do between now and the elections. But I doubt very, very much that any third party, and I have said this with the PPP, and they didn't take kindly to it. But I mean, let's be realistic in our political discourse. I think it is their democratic right. Nobody should actually take offense at that. In fact, if anything at all, we should actively encourage the kind of things they are doing. But in realistic terms, I doubt very much, and I would be very surprised if any of these smaller parties that have emerged in more recent times causes any upset in the elections.
Well, Doc, will you be surprised if defeated NDC members in the party's parliamentary primaries surface on the NDP platform?
I would not be surprised. I mean, but I think that people have to keep in mind that in politics, you don't go into politics with the sole mind of winning at all costs. If you contest an election and you lose, there are always two results for any competition. You either win or lose. And you have to be mindful of those particular results before you make a decision to get into the race. Unless, of course, you think that you have some concerns that go beyond the losing and the winning in that particular race. So that to go into an election and have in mind that you can only win is, in fact, fundamentally one of the factors that can plunge the country into conflict. Because once you don't win, you feel shattered and you feel like your only way out is to force your way into party, into victory or into governance. And I don't want to believe that that is necessarily the case of many of these defeated NDC people. They probably should wait and bide their time. The best way around politics is to bide your time. Compromise and bide your time. Your time will definitely come. And I think that many people who are defeated, who are considering changing, probably will need to look at what happened to people like Gusii Tandor, Dr. Obeda Asamoah, and so on and so forth, who were aggrieved and moved away, and what eventually happened, they had to come back into their mother party.
Well, just hold the line for us, Doc, as we go back to Dr. Josiah. Doc, you heard Dr. Pesa White. What do you make of his submissions?
Well, first of all, I must say that the CPP is a spent political force. The epoch or the era that justified, of course, the CPP is long gone. It's a post-colonial party. So it's a party formed to, of course, lead the colonial struggle, which it did successfully. Now, since, of course, it was thrown out of power, there have been many attempts to salvage the party, to breathe new life into the party. But nobody has been able to do a Lazarus with the CPP. And, of course, I believe even the Mills-led government tried in various ways to bring the CPP back. But let me say that, you know, you going into an election, you have a limited time frame, so you've got to have a strategy. Now, you heard the term blitzkrieg or concentrated bombardment. What I can promise the man at the other side of the microphone is that between now and election time, you're going to see a lot of dramatic developments regarding our political party, and the people will be totally saturated with so much information, with so much of what's going to happen, that we think that we simply will steal the thunder of the dominant party, so-called. We have a message, we have a manifesto, we have a program, and we're going to unfold it according to our strategy. All the things that he expects, of course, we couldn't have functioned illegally, because without certification, if we function as a political party, we would have been doing something illicit. So we couldn't have done that. So we have a time frame to work with. And within that time frame, Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Yeah. Within that time frame, of course, we've got to fashion and formulate what we can do. We don't simply have to let every rabbit out of the bag. Oh, the surprise element is one thing that, of course, is to our advantage. So I'm not going to tell you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or the week after. But I'm simply saying that within a two-month time frame, we will take his death away. What's going to happen regarding the NDP?
All right, just hold it. Dr. Pesanwai, so how do we deal with the problem of smaller parties emerging from bigger parties?
Well, there is nothing fundamentally wrong with that. I think people who want to move out of bigger parties and form their parties, it is their choice. And they have to have in mind what goals they want to achieve. Do they want to win, or they just want to derail derail their mother party? And, of course, both of them could be noble goals depending on where the individual stands. I think that the smaller parties don't seem to realize very much that the political terrain seems to have changed in a way that is not really very much in favor of the smaller parties. The winner takes all political arrangement in this country significantly shapes the cognitive thinking of many electorates who want to prefer to pitch camp with either of the major parties rather than, playing with a smaller party whose chances of winning an election are very, very remote. I am particularly glad to hear Dr. Josiah say that, well, they'll be doing a lot to showcase themselves. We have 100 to go into an election, and I would prefer that even by tomorrow they should publish their manifesto because we need time to assess it. But nobody in this country is going to say because you are a smaller party and you just emerged and you have thrown in a manifesto, so let's just vote for you. We have to scrutinize them and critically analyze them like we would do with the major political parties. But I am again also surprised that Dr. Josiah was telling me us now that we will be seeing in the next few days. I recall that when the first hint came that there is a smaller party led by him, he and I actually appeared on the TV program, and I asked him, what are we going to see? When are we going to see? And he told me the following week we are going to see massive programs, and that never happened. So, well, I take him on his word that this time around we are going to see this happen so as to kind of reshape our analysis on their ability to cause the upstairs that they are really hoping for.
Doc, we are very grateful for your time. Dr. Michael Pesanwai is a researcher at the Institute of African Studies at the University of Ghana. Back to you, Dr. Josiah. So what major events should we expect from the NDP in the coming weeks?
Well, let me first answer an issue raised by your commentator briefly.
Right.
He said that we said certain things and nothing happened. Nothing happened because we were not certificated. Mm. If anything had happened, we would have operated illegally. Now there's been a sea change, so we can't operate properly. Also, his analysis of what's happening now in the Ghanaian political scene factors out or does not take into account the fact that some of us had been in political parties and for no reason at all, simply on the basis of allegation. We were stripped of all political rights or political association participation. And we were tolerant and accommodating enough, some of us, to stay so for 8 years. So we're put in a situation where either, of course, you know you're a Ghanaian, you're a citizen, you may be talented and so on and so forth, but you're simply not permitted to participate in politics. I was saying that when these things happen within the political parties, of course, you must have a hand tied and do nothing. They did that to me. They did that to Kofi Adams. They did that to many people. And ultimately, they did that to their own founder. We are simply saying, by all means, accuse. By all means, allege. But after you have accused, after you have alleged, you must prove. And if you don't prove, then of course it means that whatever you're saying is baseless. Because we run a constitution, we all live under a constitution that presents people innocent until proven guilty. And yet you have people who have never been proven guilty anyway. And yet those people are railroaded. We are saying that when a political party does that, that party itself is democratically dead. And so I'm surprised that nobody on the political scene or the political commentating scene seems fit to address this particular issue. That if you don't want to deal with issues of internal democracy, if you claim to run within a democratic dispensation, and you don't respect the tenets of democracy.
Well, Doc, so back to my question. Yeah, so back to my question. What major events should we expect from the NDP in the coming weeks?
Well, certainly we're going to launch. We're going to have a Congress in which, of course, we'll have a presidential candidate. We're also going to have, a launching event or founding events, so-called, simply speaking, within each constituency, within each region, in which, of course, the national executive, the regional executive and everything will be formalized, the constituency will be formalized, and the party will then properly take off. We've taken off, but we'll formally take off. Those are the things that you're going to see. And of course, you're going to have a lot of visibility. You're going to see our billboards. You're going to see our vehicles. You're going to see a lot of propaganda. You're going to see our posters. You're going to see us everywhere.
Well, Doc, before I let you go, the NDC is having a special delegates congress tomorrow and Thursday. What solidarity message do you have for them?
Well, we wish them well. And we wish democracy is seen to be practiced at the conference that we will hold tomorrow.
Many thanks for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Ni Amajizaye is the national chairman of the National Democratic Party. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra, and we go back to our earlier story on the NDC Special National Delegates Congress. And we have on the line the Ashanti Regional NPP Secretary, Sam Pine. Hello, Mr. Pine.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. So how have you resolved your differences with the NDC with the issue of the littering of NPP posters?
Littering of NPP posters is quite harsh. We never littered NPP posters anywhere. We have a few of the NPP posters around town, including the stadium area, but not the venue proper. And when it comes to Kumasi, the main route from my kitchen to Asafo, we have some of our posters there. But just a few of them. And we put these posters up several weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. So I'm so much surprised that the NDC is making such a hue out of it.
So there is no iota of choosing that?
There is no iota of truth in whatever they are talking about. Because we put up our posters. We never put the posters up there just a day or two ago. It's been there for more than 2 weeks.
All right, Tim. We are very grateful for your time. Sam Pine is the Ashanti Regional Secretary of the NPP. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana, Accra. Well, to ensure equal access to all political parties, the Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, Bessie Appington, has announced the number of programs and time allocations for all the registered political parties beginning next month. The state broadcaster has come under a lot of criticism from the various political parties for what they allege. The state broadcaster always doing the bidding of the government in power. So are the parties pleased with the guidelines as announced by the DG? Before we talk to the various parties, let's listen to the Director General of the GBC, Bessie Appington.
We have under those rules determined a number of things that we are going to do. First, we have decided that in terms of coverage, we will assign a television camera team and a reporter to each presidential candidate. We will collect the list of presidential candidates from the electoral commissioner and assign candidates to each person to ensure that we are in line with what the rule says, because this is required by law. The reporters will report for both radio and television, and we will ensure that the presidential candidates during the campaign are afforded equal time. In terms of prominence, we will rotate their positioning in our news to ensure that they are given the same amount of prominence and positions in our bullet. However, if a candidate is not active, we should not be held responsible for not giving that person time. Before the nominations are filed, which we know comes up much later than when the campaign starts, we will take notice of all candidates who have come forward and cover them, give them as much coverage as we can. We will want to ask the parties to inform us of events as they occur. When we are not informed, it creates a problem because we will not have the reporters with you at that time. So we expect that when there are activities that the candidates are engaged in, we are informed and given enough notice. so that we can cover them. We won't cover all press conferences that the candidates hold. Again, you must inform us about the press conferences. News releases that you issue, once they are signed by the accredited people that you have nominated, will be used. And again, we will endeavor to give all the such releases equal time and equal prominence. In addition to the coverage aspect, we will, regarding parliamentary candidates, because from Accra we are dealing more with a national network, we cannot give parliamentarians the same amount of coverage as we do on the national service as we do for the presidential candidate. However, we have directed all our regional and district stations. We have 15 of such stations across the country, and they have been directed to focus on the parliamentary candidate and give them time to be able to educate the people about their programs. So parliamentary candidates will be taken care of by the regional stations in their local areas. We have a few other programs that we intend to offer to political parties and presidential candidates to be able to educate the public on their programs. We have free airtime of 10 minutes, which we will start sometime in September. For all political parties on a daily basis, it's free for you to broadcast whatever you want to put on the air. We have put that airtime at prime time, immediately after the news on television, so that the message gets across to as many people as possible. On radio, morning being the peak time for morning broadcast, we have determined that between 6:30 and 7, we will put that program, which is something that the political parties can do as they wish, to broadcast that on radio. And we will ensure that the ones you present to us will be broadcast nationally. All the regional stations will hook up and carry that. For that 10-minute slot, we will offer 1 hour of studio time for those who want to record a straight broadcast, so that you can have time to record that. We'll record and broadcast for you. But where parties want to build their own programs, they are free to do so. The programs have to reach us early enough for us to be able to vet and ensure that we are on the right path. If we have any concerns about the program, we'll let you know. We will not touch a program without involving the party. How we will do this is to have a ballot and then rotate according to, so if from the ballot one party is first, another second, third, fourth, fifth, the next day the second person comes first and the third person goes back. That is how we rotate the program. Then we have a 1 hour program which will have two journalists, in-house journalists, interviewing a leading personality of the party. It could be any leading personality of the party. This we intend to focus on the programs of the party, the manifesto, any other programs, or as you move along the campaign trail, what comes up. But we expect that the first few programs will touch on everybody's manifesto. But it's 1 hour for a party, then another party comes. We will use the same rotational basis that we are using for the 10-minute broadcast. We are also aware that some of the parties or candidates are not featuring on the IEA series. We have a constitutional mandate to afford people the same amount of airtime. So we have been impressed on by those parties. I'm not talking about parties which have had the opportunity, but parties which have not been given the opportunity, that we will give them time to feature in another program where, because they have not been given that airtime. This is limited to the presidential candidates only, because they have not featured, and we are required by law to afford all of them equal airtime. In addition, we've asked that parties can build a 15-minute profile of their candidates, because as we do all this, we realize that it is possible that candidates are not known. So instead of limiting you just to the 10 minutes, we think that candidates and parties can build a 10-minute profile of the candidates, who the person is, and we will show that. In addition, you can buy airtime for documentaries and other things that you want to show. We have agreed that we will give a 10% discount on all our rates for political party activity that you bring to be used. Again, these things must be brought in early enough for us to be able to vet them. The 10% discount is on condition that we are not going to give discount to advertising agents. Otherwise, our discount level will be rather too high. So that is what we have.
Well, that was the Director General of the GBC, Befia Paintin, on a number of programs and times and locations for all the registered political parties beginning next month. And joining us on the line is Ni Ama Kumfra, who is a CPP Communications Director. You are welcome, sir.
Good evening, you, your team. Good evening to fellow Ghanaians.
Good evening. So are you now pleased with the guidelines as announced by the DG?
Well, what we've seen today from the GBC is a state institution seeking, having a constitutional mandate, seeking to consult the stakeholders. And we in the Convention People's Party certainly are very pleased, first of all, with the dialogue, the fact that we're sitting down, the GBC is consulting the stakeholders about how it's seeking to meet its constitutional mandate. And we welcome that. We welcome the fact that the Director General, the DG, understands his responsibilities and is seeking to live by it. So we had a discussion. We are happy that we are being offered the opportunity to put our case in the 10-minute slot. We can make our own program. And then the one-hour opportunity for a leading personality of our party to be interviewed. I mean, contrast what the GBC is seeking to do today with what the Electoral Commission is doing, having a similar, having a constitutional mandate, but failing to consult stakeholders. You know, contrast that. And so we're happy with the way the GBC is seeking to meet its constitutional mandate, consulting the stakeholders.
Right.
We're happy to be consulted. We're happy to share in the in the discussion this afternoon. And we hope we can have another opportunity. Indeed, we believe that there will be further discussions so that we can see whether what we've offered works or not, or how it's working.
All right.
It's welcoming.
Many thanks for your time. Ni Ama Kumfra is a CPP Communications Director, and also joining us on the line is Bernard Mona, who is a General Secretary of the PNC. We understand we lost Bernard there on the line. Now, these are some of your text messages. Nana, victory is yours. Come and rescue us from the hardship the NDC has plunged us into. That's from Abu Nima. NDC for jobs, NDC for peace, NDC for development, no party else. And that's from Ayibo Peter Binduri. NDC has no future for the youth. Ata to Mahama, the value is the same. That's from Michael Lucy Jones. And tell Nana to stop making empty promises. We are not small boys and girls. John, it's your call. And John Mahama is the man of the moment. Pilato and Sawam. We understand Bernard is back on the line. Many thanks for joining us, Bernard.
Thank you.
So is your party also satisfied with the guidelines set out by the state broadcaster?
Well, not particularly satisfied, but we are happy that the GBC provided once again opportunity for political parties to engage with it. To find, as we listen to the Director General, these were his initial submissions and proposals to the political parties. Clearly, not all the proposals were acceptable, particularly to the People's National Convention. For instance, that the IEA provide a platform for political parties with representation in Parliament does not enjoin the GBC to say that because the IEA provided for some political parties, they will also take the other political parties that were not given. The IEA is not an extension of the GBC. And therefore, if IEA organizes programs, those are programs by an institution that is independent of the GBC. It's a program that does not require GBC's endorsement. The GBC is sponsoring the IEA program. Then it is a different environment altogether. We want to enjoy our rights within the media. We want to enjoy our rights within the state laws. Mm. And the fact that GBC wants to provide a platform for all political parties, we will be part of that platform.
All right. Yeah.
So GBC is organizing a debate for all the political parties.
You will be
the
part.
The GNC will participate in the debate. But to say that private institutions like an IEA organizing a debate and selects the group of political parties that should participate, and that means that other political parties have been denied, I think that the GBC got it wrong.
Well,
and
Bernard.
Out this one clear.
Yeah. Yeah,
the last point I want to make is that
briefly.
The last point is that advertisement that GBC is calling for from political parties and giving a discount to political parties, that is those who can pay. You can enjoy a discount because you can pay. What about those political parties with laudable ideas that cannot pay? How will they also get their programs advertised?
Well, that's a legitimate concern. We are grateful for your time. Bernard Mona is the General Secretary of the PNC. And William Dawopo is a PPP candidate for Ayawaso Wogon and is joining us on the line. You are welcome, William.
Thank you very much.
So what does your party also make of the guidelines as announced by the state broadcaster?
Well, we are all for it. We are very happy that the GBC is offering all of us this opportunity without discriminating against any political party. I believe that the leadership is up and doing. They understand the dictates of the Constitution. They know that we are running a multi-party democracy. And I think that the meeting we held today and the presentations they made, the opportunities they are presenting to all of us is in order. We believe that we have a very strong message. We are coming in and across as the alternative that the people of Ghana have been in search for a long time, and it is in our interest. It will be very helpful to us if we had all the platform that we were offered today to be able to send our messages across to the people of Ghana, especially the electorate.
Well, William, we are very grateful for your time. William Dawopo is the PPP candidate for Ayawaso Wogon. And the parties that were represented at the meeting today at GBC were the CPP, PPP, NPP, NDP, and the PNC. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of Behind the News. Many thanks to all of you who sent your text messages. Isaac Yawedu controlled the sounds. My producers were Bright Agama, Christopher Siedu, Edmond Tete, Phyllis Kofi, and John Pobi. Ibrahim Kwaten was my summarizer. My name is Agatha Samuel. Many thanks for staying tuned.